This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning to you, everybody, especially those who get up after the first hour of our show. Got the 6 o'clock wake-up call. It is Ben and Woods, live from the Corona Cave. I'm Ben Higgins, Paul Reindel, our executive producer, back at our Entercom Empire studios, and once again sitting next to the empty chair where Stephen Woods usually sits. The good news is, Woodsy says he's feeling a lot better. The bad news is I really encouraged him yesterday to get a COVID test, just to be on the safe side. Especially considering I have to sit next to him for 4 hours every morning.
It kind of backfired on you, didn't it?
And he, a little bit, because he went and did the, I think, the responsible thing. But then he's doing the really, really responsible thing, because they said, hey, you're not going to get the results until tomorrow, so we really don't want you going back to work or anything until, you know, we can confirm that you're COVID negative. So, hey, you need to stay away one more day. So now, yeah, the whole responsibility thing is kind of backfired, because I don't have my co-host with me. And starting to miss Woodsy. This is the third day in a row now that we've had to do the show without Woods. He is going to call in this morning at 8 o'clock, so we'll get an update directly from the horse's mouth on how he's feeling and how the COVID test went. I mean, did you talk to him at all, Paul, about how it's going? Because I didn't hear from him after the COVID test. He was going to get it, and then I saw him tweet that he got it. But I haven't heard any details. I mean, they jammed the swab up into his brain, and is that what he did, or did he do the blood test? Or
yeah, I did talk to him. He did not have to get the nose swab, which was what he was concerned about. So
I would have been concerned about that as well.
Yeah, I'll let him give the rest of the details. Look, he sounded better when I talked to him, but he still had that nasty cough. That's just like you could hear it. He'd pull the phone away, and he'd be like back here, and you could just hear him coughing, and like you could hear that phlegm coming up, and all. It was just. It was not fun to listen to, actually.
It's not a good look in 2020. Let's be honest. The last thing you want to do is be out in public and have an uncontrollable cough. You might as well just, you know, put on a scarlet letter. You might as well, you know, just have a sign hanging around your neck, you know, saying, hey, I'm diseased. Stay away from me. It just doesn't work. In the past, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, oh, whatever, you know, we all got to grind. We all got to... You know, we got to make our paychecks, so we're out there working. I've been to work sick before. Paul, you've been to work sick. I mean, we've all done it, but now it doesn't feel like it's okay to do it anymore. So, you know, Woodsy's doing the responsible thing here and staying away. Hopefully he will be back with us tomorrow. We just started our discussion on Mike Clevenger, and Paulie, you teased a little bit. Is that part of the Reindel Report, or is that separate?
No, that was separate.
Okay, so what was the little update you were about to give us on the Padres and potentially Mike Clevenger's status?
Well, you know how these things work sometimes with social media. A player posts something maybe on their Instagram story like yesterday, and then a fan screenshots it, tweets it out, and then it spreads, and everybody starts jumping to conclusions. So Michelle Baez, who is not on the active roster, is in San Francisco. He posted a picture of downtown San Francisco last night on his Instagram story. And he tagged it and all of that. So, obviously, a lot of Padres fans just jumped to conclusion. All right, well, Clevenger to the IL and Baez comes up. We don't have any confirmation on that, but that is what people were talking about last night.
Well, I mean, certainly that is a in the realm of possibility. However, I would caution not reading too much into the fact that Michelle Baez is on the trip with the Padres to San Francisco for a couple of reasons. First of all, you always have a three-man taxi squad that is supposed to travel with the team no matter what this COVID season. So you can be on the trip and post an Instagram picture and not necessarily be on the active roster. You can be one of the taxi squad guys. Secondly, the Padres are scheduled to play a doubleheader tomorrow, 2 7-inning games against the Giants. And based on those rules, you are actually allowed one extra player, a 29th player, I believe, on the roster for doubleheaders as well. So you could actually activate Michelle Baez without having to make any other move tomorrow and just add him to the 28-man roster and make it a 29-man roster. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Mike Clevinger is on the shelf and going to the injured list just because Michelle Baez is with the team. You know, quite frankly, the Padres need starting pitchers. They didn't expect to have a bullpen day yesterday. So even though they got a day off today, they're going to have to play at least 14 innings tomorrow. And you didn't want, you know, you were hoping to give your starters, Denelson Lamet and Chris Paddock were at least scheduled to go tomorrow, but I doubt Jay Stengler wanted them both to go, you know, complete 7 innings. They're probably on pretty strict pitch counts in their final start before the postseason. So you were anticipating having to use your bullpen a lot. So you need a couple of guys who can be longer men out of the pen. And I would think Michelle Baez is one of the guys from your alternate training site who could fill that role for the Padres in this four-game series against the Giants. So, yeah, I'd say you should read almost nothing into that, actually, that Baez is on the trip. But there is the possibility, as you know, because we haven't heard anything since the end of the game yesterday and Jay Stengler's comments on the MRI for Mike Clevinger. So we don't really know, but intrepid reporting by you, Paul. To be on top of that, I hadn't seen that post from Michelle Baez.
Well, thank you, Ben.
All right. With that, let's get to some more intrepid reporting by Paul Reindel and get to today's edition of the Reindel Report.
You're listening to the Reindel Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's 6 o'clock somewhere.
6:06, actually, right now.
Feels like it's later in the morning already. Maybe that's the me getting up and getting here in time for the start of the show. Yeah. If Woods is back tomorrow, I may just take the entire first hour off to make up for all these early days that I've had to get here this week.
That seems fair.
I know. Doesn't it, though? I think so.
All right. So I wanted to bring this story back because it came down in the very last, like, 5 minutes of yesterday's show. Here's the tweet from Adam Schefter that we saw yesterday morning and just really couldn't help but... You don't want to laugh because of the nature of the story, but we definitely just shook our heads and thought, yeah, this makes sense. Here's the tweet. Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs, league and team sources told ESPN. I mean... My God, is that not the most Chargers story you've ever heard in your life, Ben?
It is pretty Chargers, for sure. But I thought there's some interesting fallout.
Oh, yeah.
As you said, we only had this story right at the end of the show yesterday. First of all, update just on the day-to-day business. Anthony Lynn named Justin Herbert his starter for... Is it Justin?
Yeah.
Justin Herbert is starter for... this week's game against the Carolina Panthers. So Tyrod Taylor is not going to be healthy enough to return. But the implications of this are very interesting. And Andrew Brandt, who we've had on before from The Ringer and The Athletic, and he does the business of sports. He's a former Green Bay Packers front office executive, brought up some of the issues, like asking questions. Well, was the team doctor an employee of the team or was an independent contractor? He said most team doctors are independent contractors. If that's the case, there's less liability, I guess, on the part of the team as opposed to the liability all being kind of on the doctor's shoulders in a case like this. He says, was it negligence by the doctor? What, did he do something wrong that other doctors would not have done that caused the lung to become punctured? He says, did Tyrod Taylor ask for the pain-killing injection, or was he basically told, like by coaches, hey, go see the doc. You need to get a painkilling injection for your ribs. And he's going, I don't really want one. I really need one. So, no, we need you to get this injection. Or was he like, Doc, man, I need this if I'm going to play. Please, please, please give me the injection. That can be part of the responsibility issue. And then, you know, obviously there's going to be the short-term impact. He lost his starting job last week and at least this week because of something that, you know, wasn't his fault. And then there's the long-term impact. If he ends up, you know, missing a lot of time, or if he loses his starting job to Herbert, he's, you know, what about a big contract next time? He's going to lose the opportunity to earn future money. If I'm a lawyer for Tyrod Taylor, I'm saying, hey, your mistake cost me potentially millions of dollars that of future earnings that I could have earned because I lost my job based on your incompetent or employee who made a mistake and took me out for however many weeks. There's a lot of layers to this story that I hadn't thought about when it first just kind of popped across my Twitter feed yesterday near the end of the show.
I always noticed, like, the Chargers were always impacted by the injury bug more than any other team, it felt like. And at some point, you had to wonder, like, okay, is there something wrong with the training staff? Or, like, what is happening? Are these players not prepared? Because it just seemed like year after year after year, they got hit harder than any other team in the NFL. And obviously, every team has to deal with it, but it didn't. It seemed like they had it much worse. And our boy SD Mike tweeted in, check out what Brandon Oliver said, former Chargers running back. He said, my last year with the Chargers, Philip Rivers got his regular IV before the game for hydration. The doctor supposedly took the IV out. Phil comes back into the locker room with blood dripping down his arm. The IV was still in his arm. What if he would have taken the field? I mean...
And maybe it's a combination of factors. It's always easy to just blame the training staff or the doctors if there's injuries, but there can be other factors that go into it as well. Start with the GM and the kind of players that he signs and drafts. There are players who have more of an injury history and those that, you know, have more of a stable reputation of staying on the field. Sometimes GMs are willing, hey, this guy is so talented, if he can just stay on the field, you know, he could be a Pro Bowler. Well, there's a cost to that, though, because if you draft a lot of those players, you could end up with a roster full of guys who end up on the injured list or on injured reserve every other season. The Chargers have had a bit of a history of that under Tom Telesco. Look at ownership as well and the facilities. You remember the story I had a couple of weeks ago where, you know, people that I have talked to that have been up to the Chargers training facility in Costa Mesa say, hey, it's just a public park. It's not an NFL quality practice field. It's not completely level. It's not completely flat in places. You know, there's a possibility that could lead to, you know, muscle type injuries while you're practicing because you're not spending what it takes to have the absolute best possible practice facility as well. Now, that obviously had nothing to do with Tyrod Taylor's injury, but you know, if you've got an organization that has all these factors coming in together, then the end result is going to be more players injured than other teams. And that seems to be what has plagued the Chargers here for not just the last year or two, but really for a very long time.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Former Padres CEO Sandy Alderson will be returning to the Mets as the team's president under new owner Steve Cohen. The deal is contingent on the sale of the Mets from the Wilpon and Katz families to Cohen being approved by MLB owners. We will need 23 of the 30 owners to approve the transaction. That's expected to happen sometime, I think, in November. Cohen said in a statement, If I am fortunate enough to be approved by Major League Baseball as the next owner of this iconic franchise, Sandy Alderson will become president of the New York Mets and will oversee all Mets baseball and business operations. Now, Sandy was the Mets GM when New York went to the World Series just a few years ago. I'm curious what you thought of this hire, Ben.
Well, it certainly, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm going, really? We're just going to go back down that same old road? After Alderson left the Mets in July 2018, he was battling cancer. And in San Diego, you know, people kind of, it didn't end that well for Sandy Alderson here, and they didn't get to where they wanted to be. Obviously, he had so much success with the A's, but really, when you look at it in historical perspective, Alderson is the last CEO who took the Padres to the playoffs before this year, 2005 and 2006. That was Alderson's tenure. He's the last guy who took the Mets anywhere good, as you said, went to the World Series under Alderson. And then when Alderson was with the A's as GM and then bringing in Billy Bean, that was the heyday of the A's World Series. You know, 1989 was Alderson's tenure and set them up for future success as well. He's actually done a pretty good job with three organizations that otherwise without him have been pretty terrible for the rest of their franchise history. So maybe this isn't the worst idea to bring Sandy Alderson back if you're the New York Mets.
Yeah, it's very possible. We'll have to wait and see. And finally, here's your headline, Ben. The Uncle Ben's rice brand is getting a new name, Ben's Original. Parent firm Mars Inc. unveiled a change this week for the 70-year-old brand, the latest company to drop a logo criticized as a racial stereotype. Packaging with the new name will hit stores early in 2021. Fiona Dawson, global president for Mars Food, said, "We listen to our associates and our customers, and the time is right to make meaningful changes across society. When you are making these changes, you are not going to please everyone, but it's about doing the right thing, not the easy thing." Several companies have retired racial imagery from their branding in recent months, a ripple effect from the Black Lives Matter protests, especially over the killing of George Floyd and other African Americans. Since the 40s, the rice boxes have featured a white-haired black man, sometimes with a bow tie, an image that critics say evokes servitude. Mars has said the face was originally modeled after a Chicago maitre d' named Frank Bound, but Uncle Ben's rice canceled in 2020.
As someone who was named Ben, so obviously in grade school, people, hey, Uncle Ben, would call him that. I actually don't mind that they're changing the name to Ben's Original. But at the same time, I know there's people. What I don't understand is the people who are going to be upset by this, who have decided that, oh my God, you know, life in 2020, can you believe this? Now we can't even call Uncle Ben's rice Uncle Ben's. Who cares? You know what? It's just rice. Who cares if it's called Ben's Original or Uncle Ben's? Your life is not affected in any way whatsoever by the change of the name of the rice. And if it makes some people who feel like, hey, we're getting rid of a racially stereotypical image and they feel better about it, why do you care? What are you so upset about that this company is changing the name of its rice product? Really, reevaluate your anger if that's what your reaction is to this, because there will be some people out there who decry it as some sort of, this is what's wrong with 2020. We can't have Uncle Ben's rice anymore. Who cares what the rice is called?
Yeah, look,
it's a box of rice.
If it offends somebody or a group of people, and it has, especially if it has absolutely no impact on your life, just shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let it happen.
We have way too many people in this country who've decided that they deserve to have an opinion on everything. It's like, it's rice. It doesn't affect your life at all. Buy it. Don't buy it. I don't care. Don't tweet about it. I don't want to know your feelings on Uncle Ben's rice changing its name. I don't care at all. Leave it alone. In fact, I'm leaving it alone, and we're done with the Rondo Report. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
All right. Our Padres wrap-up is coming up next. Back-to-back losses to the Angels. Not what we were expecting here in this final week of the season. The Padres still trying to clinch home field advantage, although they did get closer yesterday. We'll get that update for you. First of all, if you love listening to Padres baseball on 97.3 The Fan, great news. You can now stream our Padres broadcast, and there are a few ways you can do it. You can visit our website at 97.3thefansd.com. Go to the radio.com app on your smartphone or tablet, or you can listen on your smart speaker just by asking Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan on radio.com. All the different ways to listen to Padres baseball all the way through the postseason today. All right, let's get a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.